and gentlemen, Life with a Lion. Once again, we'd like you to meet the Lion family.
I'm Robin Lion.
I'm Barbara Lion.
I'm Ben Lion.
And I'm Baby Daniels Lion.
And here they are in It's Good to Be Home.
Home again.
Well, believe me, Aggie, it's good to be back.
Tell me, how is Master Richard?
Oh, I just called the nursing home and he's coming along fine.
Oh, good. I'll take him along some nice Scotch broth. That'll build him up.
Mother, Daddy, guess what? Jack Payne just rang up. He wants me to sing on Off the Record again.
Oh, darling, how wonderful.
Oh, that's terrific, Barbara. I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you, Daddy.
You know, singing in Off the Record is something I always wanted to do.
You must be very proud, Miss Barbara.
Oh, I am, Aggie. But I'm worried. I'm going to appear on a top TV show, and I haven't a thing to wear. Not a thing.
Boy, will you be a sensation.
You be still. Besides, I'm terribly nervous. You don't know what it's like, Aggie, to stand up there and sing all by yourself.
Well, why don't you get a man to sing with you?
A man to sing with her? Hmm. Down in a meadow, in a itty bitty poop, and feet, itty fishes, and a mama fishy too. A fin said the mama fishy, fimmy, fitam, and a fam, 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 all over the dam.
I can't think of anybody.
Maybe you could think better if we knew what kind of a singer you were looking for, Barbara.
Oh, well, personally, I like those men who sing those wonderful husky torch songs.
That old black magic has me in its spell.
The bicarbonate in the kitchen.
I don't need the bicarbonate.
Then why did you make that funny noise?
If you'll all stop being so funny, I'll tell you. I was giving Barbara a subtle hint that her dear old dad would be glad to appear with her on Off the Record.
You mean sing with me?
That's right.
Oh, but Daddy, it's not a comedy program.
Thank you very much. Since you don't think I'm good enough, that ends the discussion. I'll be in the den if anyone wants me, which I doubt.
He sure is hurt.
Oh, he'll get over it. I'll go and make him a nice cup of tea.
I don't think your father will get over it. I've never seen him act like that before.
Maybe if he got a job on TV. You know, a job on his own. He might feel different.
Hey, you're right. I'll go telephone the BBC and see if they have an opening.
Well, be sure and tell them about your father's singing voice. He might get a part in that new serial, Quaker Mouse 3.
Quaker Mouse
2? Oh, Mother, it's Quaker Mouse 2.
Oh. No, I have a better idea. I'll go over to Lime Grove and see my old friend Raymond Glendenning.
The great sports commentator?
Yes, I'm sure he can find your father a job.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Lyon. Welcome to Lime Grove.
Well, thank you.
I'm Mr. Glendenning's secretary. Mr. Glendenning.
Oh, yes, Miss Bennett.
Mrs. Lyon is here.
Oh, jolly good. Right, now do show her in.
Oh, it's terribly nice of you to see me.
Hello there. It's a great pleasure. Come right in and sit down.
Well, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Glendenning, our news commentator has flu, and they'd like you to take his place.
Oh, confound it, you know. Really, I've already got 4 outside sports events today already.
Oh, what will I tell them, sir?
Oh, tell them I'll fit it in somehow.
Oh, very good, sir.
You know, really, they must think I'm 6 men in 1. Excuse me, Mrs. Lyon. I really must open the window.
Is my perfume bothering you?
No, not at all. But you see, being a sportsman, I believe in the power of fresh air. So every time I feel upset or harassed, I just open the window, take a few deep breaths, close the head.
Well, that's a very good idea.
Now, Mrs. Lyon, now supposing you tell me the object of your visit. You know, I really am very busy today.
Oh, I know you are. That's why it's so kind of you to see me. My family will be thrilled when I tell them that I've seen your mustache in the flesh.
Oh, really? Do excuse me. I just opened the window again.
You certainly love fresh air. The next time you do that, I must try it with you.
Mrs. Lyon, will you please tell me exactly why you've come to see me?
Well, it's rather a delicate matter. Could you use your influence to get a certain person a job on TV?
Well, of course, you know, that all depends, doesn't it? You see, one has to have the right type of face.
Oh, yes. Well, don't worry. This person's face has just the right number of lines for a television screen.
Yes, that's a help.
Yes, I thought maybe this person could take the place of your announcer who has the flu.
Ah, now that's problematic. Mm.
You see, the reason they really need it so desperately is because they've developed a terrible inferiority complex.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes. You see, it's very, very difficult for a person who's been a big film star and a great singer to take a back seat. Oh, not that they aren't delighted that their daughter Barbara is getting such a wonderful chance on television, but, well, it hurts when a person isn't a spring chicken anymore.
You know, I'm so sorry. I just didn't understand. Of course, Mrs. Lyon, you can have the job.
Me?
Yes, 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 of course you. I'll arrange things. I'll have you read the news tonight.
All right, but I don't think my husband's going to like this.
Oh, Aggie, do you know where my wife is?
I mustn't say. She's out planning a big surprise for you.
Really? Well, what time did she say she'd be back from the,
From where?
Oh, you know where she's gone, Robin.
Sure.
Well, where is it?
Oh, no, you don't. I promise not to tell a single soul that Mommy's gone to Lime Grove.
Robin!
That's all right, Aggie. I didn't say she'd gone there to get Daddy a job.
Get me a job?
Aye, and why not? If Bransby Williams can do it, so can you.
Now, don't be funny. Is she really over there talking about a job for me?
Yeah. She went to see Raymond Glendenning.
Well, that was darn sweet of her. Glendenning will probably offer me one of the important announcing jobs. Personally, I've always sort of fancied myself as a newsreader.
Aye, you'd be good at that. Hey, let's switch the television on. Barbara will be on in 5 minutes.
All right, son. There we are. Fancy your mother driving all the way out to Lime Grove to talk about a job for me.
Well, she did.
Some women are only interested in finding a job for themselves.
This is the BBC television news service.
But not your mother, son. She's the sweetest, kindest...
And tonight it's brought to you by our guest newsreader.
Most unselfish person...
Miss Phoebe Daniels.
What?
It's Mommy!
I've never known a more selfish woman in all my life.
Please, Mr. Lyman, what did you hear what she sings?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here is tonight's news and newsreel, and this is Phoebe Daniels reading it. Well, I guess it's pretty silly for me to tell you who's reading it because you see me.
Isn't that awful?
And now our cameras transfer you to the Chelsea football grounds. I understand Arsenal is playing away, so I don't see how Chelsea is going to have a game.
This is getting worse.
Look, Daddy, there's the Chelsea grounds.
Oh, I was wrong. I was wrong. Both teams are here. Yes, indeed. Chelsea is in the white shorts and Arsenal is in the black. I guess that's because Arsenal has been playing longer than Chelsea.
How can she do this?
I'm afraid the game is over. But if you look closely, you can see some beautiful beaver coats.
Never mind the beaver coats. Tell us the score.
A very unfortunate incident took place during the last 2 minutes of play. Lady Roehampton noticed that Lady Wiltshire was wearing an identical copy of her Paris hat, which she had been assured was an exclusive Dior model.
Who won the game?
I suppose you're all just dying to hear the results.
We certainly are.
Well, the result was Lady Roehampton left the grounds in a huff. And I can't really say that I blame her.
Robin, switch it off.
I can't, Daddy. Barbara's coming on in a second.
Well, good night, everybody. That's all for now.
Thank heavens. I know, Aggie, I know.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another off-the-record program, which, as usual, brings you recording stars, personalities, and news from the industry. Firstly, let me introduce a member of the famous Lyon family, whose latest record you're going to hear now.
You say I'm a father.
You all know the one and only Bebe. You've just seen her on your screens. And Richard Lyon, who has no less than 14 Hollywood films to his credit. Richard is in hospital at the moment, and we all wish him good luck and a very speedy recovery.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
And, of course, I don't have to remind you of the other great member of the family, who has recently made such a terrific hit on television.
Wonderful build-up he's giving
me. I'm referring to Robin Lahn. He gave such an outstanding performance as young Nelson.
Oh, boy!
But lastly, and by no means least...
Well, it's about time.
I'm sure you know who I'm talking about now.
I do.
The charming Barbara.
What?
Who you're going to see and hear now.
I'm going to sue that Jack Payne.
You're going to sing.
Whisper in my ear.
Get it. Oh, hello, Wimple.
Hello. I came over to tell you how good Barbara was on television.
Oh, thanks, Wimple. Come on in and sit down.
Okay, it must be a great thrill watching your children grow up and carve out careers for themselves.
It certainly is.
Doing all the things you used to be able to do.
What do you mean, used to be able to do?
Oh, no offense, Mr. L. But you must admit, they've grown a lot in the last few years.
You're right. It seems like only yesterday, Bebe was washing Barbara in a little bath.
And now she's a big success on television.
If she had stayed in the bath, she'd have been a bigger success.
Robin.
Well, hi, family. We're back.
Barbara, we're very proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Wimple. Wasn't Mother a riot?
Riot is the perfect word for it. Oh, hello, baby.
Hello. Wasn't I simply awful?
Oh, sweetheart, stop worrying. You didn't do anything wrong. It's just that you're not cut out to be a newsreader, that's all.
I know. I'll get it. And Alloway, bring some tea. Hello?
Hello, Glendinning here. Could I speak to Mr. Lyon, please?
Oh, just a minute. Daddy, Mr. Glendinning's on the phone. Oh, dear, I hope he hasn't rung up to complain about me.
Baby, I told you not to worry. Now, you just leave this to me. Now, listen here, Glendinning. My wife read the news as well as she knew how. And if you've rung up to complain about her, then you'll have to deal with me.
Shall I hand you the phone now, Daddy?
Yes, please, my boy. Hello.
Hello, Ben, old boy. I just thought I'd ring you up and offer my congratulations to your daughter.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes, she was charming. And as for that wife of yours...
On that laugh alone, I could sue him.
Quiet, Bebe, quiet. You know, Raymond, you really can't blame Bebe. It's very difficult to do a job you've never tackled before.
Oh, my dear chap, there's no need to make excuses. She was great.
What?
Yes, she's given us a very novel idea for presenting ladies' fashions. We'd like her to appear 5 nights a week. Do you think that's possible?
Well, just a minute, and I'll tell her. Bebe, do you know what Mr. Glendening wants you to do?
Well, tell him he can do the same thing.
No, you don't understand. He wants you to sign a contract to appear 5 nights a week. What do you say?
Well, does he want us both?
Well, no, but it's a very nice offer for you, dear.
Well, yes, but I couldn't possibly spare the time. The whole house would go to rack and ruin.
Oh, you know I'd look after the house for you.
Well, that's what I said. No, dear, I haven't time to do it.
All right, honey, all right. Hello, Raymond.
Yes?
I'm afraid BB's too busy to accept that offer, but, well, I'd be very glad to read the news for you.
Well, if ever we have a vacancy, Ben, I'll be very glad to keep it from you. Goodbye.
From me? Goodbye.
What's wrong?
All these people at Lime Grove make me tired. I'm going to watch the television in the den on Channel 9.
I say, what's wrong with Mr. L?
He's upset because they don't seem to want him to work in the BBC, and he does want to act terribly.
Well, he never acted any other way.
Mr. Wimple, please be serious. He's very hurt.
Mother, why don't you telephone Mr. Glendening and ask him if he won't run one of Daddy's old films?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. I'll go and call him right away.
Mr. Wimple, what do you think of the idea of putting one of Daddy's old films on TV?
Well, if that doesn't send people back to sound radio, nothing will.
I talked to Mr. Glendening, and he's agreed to show one of your father's films at 11 o'clock tonight.
Oh, Mother, that's terrific. That should bring back Daddy's confidence. Say, how did you get Mr. Glendening to put it on so quickly?
Well, he knows it's a great film. The fact that the cameras at Earl's Court have broken down is a mere coincidence.
Well, family, it's about time. Better switch on the television, huh?
I'll do it, Daddy. It takes a minute to warm up.
Well, I hope those technicians are careful with that film.
Oh, stop worrying, Mother.
Well, I can't help it. It's only on loan from the museum.
Hey, I think they're going to announce it.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Mother.
Unfortunately, our gamblers at Earl's Court have developed a serious fault. So, for the next 5 minutes, we'll be showing you an excerpt from the film starring Ben Lyon, for which we apologize. That is, we apologize for the breakdown, not the film. Oh, I don't know that.
Glendening is such a clown.
And here it is, Lassie Finds a Friend. Starring Lassie. Yes, starring Lassie with Ben Lyon.
Well, he could have at least mentioned me first.
Oh, Mr. Lyon, you look so young in the screen.
Yes, well, he could have mentioned me, you know. I didn't like the billing he gave me. Yeah, now be quiet. Listen, everyone. Listen to me.
Joe, darling, you can keep Lassie, but there's something I have to tell you. You and I have been happy together for 3 years. That's why it isn't easy for me to tell you, but I've suddenly fallen in love with someone else. Oh, I'm sorry I made you catch your breath, Joe, but I wanted to give it to you straight. No, don't speak. Let me finish. And when I finish, I'll just go quietly out of your life forever. Oh, darling, don't sit there with that strange, twisted look on your face. Speak to me. Please speak to me, Joe. This is rough on both of us, Joe, but believe me.
And there we must end Lassie Finds a Friend. And by the way, that co-starred Lassie and Ben Lyon. And now, I'm very happy to tell you that last we can take you to Earl's Court, where our outside cameras are now working perfectly.
Robin, switch it off.
Okay. Daddy, you look terrific.
Yes, darling, you were simply handsome.
I know, but I wish they'd chosen a scene where I had a little more to say.
Don't give it a thought. You were wonderful.
I was?
Yes.
And the way Daddy looked on the screen, why, everybody will be crazy about him.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I would. From now on, you're my favorite star.
I am?
Yes, sir. I used to think there was no one quite like King of the Horse, but now I know there is.
Well, thanks.
Oh, Mr. Lyon, he meant that as a great compliment.
Oh, I know he did. Of course he did. Well, I think I'll go in the den and take a look at my old scrapbooks.
Isn't it wonderful? He's so happy.
You don't think we put it
on a bit too thick, do you?
No, we'll telephone all our friends and tell them to do the same thing.
I'll start in by calling Mrs. Wimple.
Aggie, have you talked to anyone who saw me on TV last night?
Aye, a lot of my friends did.
I'll get it. Oh, come in, Wimple. What did your friend say, Aggie?
They said that film of yours would sell television sets all over the country.
They were quite right. We've sold ours.
Wimple, you're entirely too funny tonight. Now watch it.
I'll wager when Mr. Lyon made that picture, the girls were swarming around him like bees.
Well, the bees have started swarming again. Here. I brought you these autograph books to sign.
Aggie, just look at the size of that stack of books. Quick, where's my pen?
I'll go and get you one.
Here, bottom line. Why? Your hand's shaking with excitement.
Oh, don't be absurd. I sign this many autographs every day. Now, let's see. How does that little verse go I always write in the book? Oh, yes, yes. With love from Ben, whom you adore, California 1920... No.
No? Well, how about this one? With love from Ben at 55, well, what do you know? He's still alive.
I'm not 55. And if you'll excuse me, I'll go in the den and dream up my own verses.
What a touchy old bounder.
Oh, hello, Mr. Wimple. I thought Ben was in here with you.
He was. He just gone in the den to autograph some photos for his fans.
Listen, you don't have to pretend anymore. Ben can't hear you in here.
Well, I'm not pretending, Mrs. L. I couldn't get on with my work at the garage this morning for all those teenage girls asking me, do you know Ben Lyon? When I said I did, they all gave me a great big kiss.
Oh, Mother, Janet Fields just telephoned to say she wants to start a fan club for Daddy.
Well, that was very clever of you to get one of your girlfriends to call up, dear, but he's doing very well as it is.
It's nothing to do with me, Mother. I don't even know Janet Fields.
Well, I do. She's the blonde in the camera shop on the corner.
You mean that little flirt?
What?
Why, she has every boy in the neighborhood running after her.
Barbara, this is going a little too far.
It most certainly is.
Well, bye-bye. Tell Gregory Peck I'll be over to get those autograph books later.
Mr. Wimple, I wonder if he was joking about all those girls falling for your father.
Somehow, I don't think he was. And if we don't nip this in the bud, there'll be no holding Daddy.
You're right. Let's put our heads together and maybe we'll hit on something concrete.
Teenage girls outside the window trying to get a look at Daddy.
Well, shoo them away.
I tried, but they don't shoo easily.
We want Ben! We want Ben! Ben, we know you're in there. Please let us see you, boy! Please, please!
All right, now take it easy, take it easy. Hello, girl.
Encourages them anymore, they're liable to climb through the window.
Well, they better not. If one of those silly girls throws herself at your father, I'll throw her right out again.
Maybe one of them's already in there, making eyes at him.
Well, we'll soon find out. Let's open the door quietly and listen.
Listen, you cute thing. I've fallen hook, line, and sinker for those baby blue eyes, that turned-up nose, and that gorgeous husky voice of yours. I'm simply mad about your doll face.
Daddy, stop looking in the mirror.
Barbara, I must look my best for my public.
Oh, Benny, let us in, let us in.
Isn't that sweet? They won't leave me alone.
Well, I'm going out and have a talk with them.
Now, be nice, Barbara. Remember, they're my fans. You know, B.B., I've noticed one or two little gray hairs in my eyebrows. May I borrow your tweezers?
You certainly may not, and I'll thank you to return my hair curlers. Come on, Robin.
Sorry, I didn't know you were here.
Well, I was afraid to disturb the Johnny Ray of Southwick Street. Tell me, these youngsters know how old he is?
No, but I'm going to see that they find out.
Good. That should make all the difference.
Jesus, this is the busiest house. Come in.
Oh, good afternoon. I'm Janet Fields, president of the Ben Lyon Fan Club.
Could I see Benny?
Miss Fields, did you know that Mr. Lyon was a married man?
Oh, the best man, oh.
Well, we don't want him to belong to any fan club. He's ours.
Oh, and who's the possessive little whippersnapper?
Listen, kids. The last girl talked that way to me had her whippersnap.
She did she?
Yeah. And the girl before that had her snapper whip.
Dig that crazy kid. Now, Robin, run along. Addie, Florrie, and I'll handle this.
Okay, but keep her away from Daddy.
All right. Now, Miss Fields, about my husband. He's not as much of a boy as you think he is.
Age isn't important. Well, get the idea out of your head that you're going to make him a big TV star.
Oh, that would be impossible. A great artist like Ben Lyon isn't made. He's born.
Yes, but you don't know how long ago.
No, but I've been told he's about 50. I saw him on TV last night, and he looked divine. Oh, I've never seen such a chest. He looked as big as a mountain.
Yes, but he's had a landslide since then.
But he looks wonderful in this photograph he just sent me. Oh, just look at it. Just lamp that lovable face.
No, thank you.
And what a physique. Just dig those crazy hips.
You better not. His corset might give way.
I don't believe it. I saw him on the street last week, and I think he's handsome. Now, may I please see Benny?
I'm afraid you'll have to wait. He's busy curling his wig.
Wig?
Janet, are you sure you still want to wait and meet Mr. Lyon?
Of course.
After everything we told you...
You see, Daddy has to be in bed no later than 8 o'clock.
Now, Barbara, that's ridiculous. He can stay up until 9 if he takes a long nap.
Crumbs. We had no idea he was in that condition.
Well, well, if it isn't my little president of my fan club.
Hello.
I hope I haven't kept you waiting.
Mommy, Mr. Glendenning's here.
Oh, hello, baby. You know, I just dropped over with this film of Ben.
Oh, thank you, Raymond.
Raymond Glendenning. Oh, think those crazy whispers.
This is your young lady. Please, 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 give me back my tie.
Oh, my dream, man. Let me kiss you.
I'll open the back door, Mr. Glendenning. You better make a run for it before the rest of the girls see you.
Thank you, Robin. I will.
Raymond, come back. Well, she certainly rushed after him.
Well, Daddy, looks as if you've lost your fan president.
Oh, never mind her. Just open the front door. I want to make a little speech to the rest of the girls.
Okay.
My dear fans, it does me good to see all you hundreds of girls gathered here in front of me tonight.
Run! There goes Raymond
Kennedy! I guess I might as well go inside.
Oh, Daddy, they all left you.
Let's face it, BB. I'll never make women scream again.
Oh, you don't have to worry about other women, Daddy, as long as Mother and I love you.
I know, and you've both been so darn sweet about the whole thing that I'm going to buy you each a new dress.
Dig that crazy, wonderful boy!
Life of the Lion, with B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, where Barbara Lyon, also in the cast for Horace Percival, Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Richard Belairs, Raymond Glendenning, Patricia Field, George Meek. The script was by Bob Block, Ronnie Hambury, and B.B. Daniels. Incidental music by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. The production, which was recorded, was by Tom Ronald.